Welcome to the Brush with Brit podcast. I'm your host, Brit, and I'm thrilled to have you join me on this exciting journey into the world of dentistry. With a decade of experience in the dental field, I bring a wealth of knowledge and expertise to help guide you on your path. Having spent 8 years as a registered dental assistant, followed by 3 years as a dental hygienist, I've had the privilege of gaining practical experience in both roles. Beyond my clinical practice, I'm passionate about mentorship, guiding others, and advocating for dental hygienists and patients. Through this podcast, my aim is to create a supportive space where you can learn, grow, and relate to the ups and downs of being a dental professional. Whether you're looking to expand your knowledge, enhance your skills, or simply stay up to date with the latest trends in dentistry, you've come to the right place. Together, let's embark on a journey of personal and professional development, empowering you to become the best dental professional you can be. It is so hard to stay on time when practicing clinically. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Color Method by Zurich Dental Products. It helps me stay organized, which ultimately leads me to being more efficient, and it saves me time. Color Method is a color-coded organizational system that helps in the management and location of instruments and materials in the dental office. If you're thinking, Brit, I don't have time for that, or the boss won't let us, Zurich has everything you need to guide you through the process, including clinical coaches that will help you organize your office. To learn more about the Color Method, visit colormethod.com and enter code BRIT for 25% off the Silver Consulting Plan. You're probably wondering about saddle stools and ergonomic loops. Well, from the title of this episode, I'm pretty sure you came to the right place. I have on my friend Stephanie Botts, who is also an ergonomic coach. She's been on several episodes of the Brush with Brit podcast. I'm going to list them in the description box of this episode. Highly recommend listening to those in addition to this episode, but we're going to get into some of the details about saddle stools and ergonomic loops, what to look for, what you should buy, and just really give the details that I myself didn't even know and ultimately learned a lot from Stephanie about both of these things. So without further ado, let's get into this week's episode of Brush with Brit. Well, thanks for being on today. I know that we both get so many questions about saddle stools and ergo loops and all of that stuff. So of course I had to have you back on. And in today's episode, I really want to focus on investing in yourself and also just saddle stools in general, because there is a lot that I've learned from you. And I think that the audience will definitely appreciate being able to hear some tips about getting a saddle stool, or if they should. So I first want to start off by saying, or asking, do you think that if someone is investing in themselves and getting a chair for themselves, that purchasing a saddle stool from somewhere like Amazon is a good place to start?
No. And that might be an unpopular opinion. I get pushback on that sometimes. And like every now and then, an Amazon saddle stool works out for a clinician every now and then, but that's not the norm. Typically, people will buy one. It doesn't fit them. It doesn't help them with their pain. And a lot of times it makes it worse, or it legit starts falling apart, you know? So I do not recommend people get a like $99 saddle stool from Amazon. This is a investment in your health and your well-being. And this isn't just a quick purchase. And so I really recommend that people do their research, look and talk to reputable brands, and find a stool that actually fits their body. So in my lectures, I say that saddle stools are like a pair of pants, and the one that fits me likely isn't going to fit you. And you don't want to be sitting for hours a day on something that doesn't fit you, because it's going to cause problems in the long run.
And when you say the saddle stool doesn't fit them, in what way? Like, in what way could a stool not fit somebody?
So it's like we're all different sizes, right? Different body types. We've got long, short torsos. We've got wide hips, narrow hips, long inseam or not. And so if you, for example, have a saddle stool that is forcing your legs out wider than what is healthy for your frame, that's going to start hurting your hips and your low back, and it's going to spread to other areas of your body as well. So there's so many different types that fit all of the different body types that we have, but people really need to do some research. And I've even got a resource on my Instagram dedicated just for saddle stools. It's on my highlights. But there's brands on there, questions to ask your rep. But this is something that really needs to be investigated and invested in, because this is something that will really make or break how you feel, considering how many hours a day we're actually on our stools, you know?
Yeah. And one thing I learned about saddle stools is like how high or short it goes, because I remember getting in an operatory and they had a saddle stool and I was like, oh yes. Like I'm so glad that there's a saddle stool for me to sit in. And I sat in it, you know, I'm 5'8", so my legs are pretty long. And by the end of the day, like my hips were in so much pain because of how much pressure I was putting down on my hips. And I never really like learned about having like a taller chair or putting the chair higher, or needing that specific long cylinder in order to accommodate like the longer legs.
Right. And there's, and I do hear that a lot from people who are like, oh, I've tried a saddle stool at my office. I hated it. And it's like, well, maybe saddle stools aren't for you, which honestly, that does not happen very often. But likely it just wasn't their size. It wasn't for them. And yeah, when you're taller, you need a taller cylinder. And you're short, if you're shorter, you need a shorter one. So these are very customizable pieces of equipment for us. And the way you sit on it too, like you already mentioned, I like to tell people you want to sit as high on it as you can while still being comfortable and having your feet flat on the floor. You basically want to be halfway between standing and sitting. So I see, you know, on social, like we're both on social media, and I'll see some people who are using a saddle stool, which is great, but they do not have it at the correct height, and that's not serving them, you know?
Do you think saddle stools are for everybody? Or I think you briefly said like not, it's not for everybody, but for the majority of people.
Yeah. So just kind of, I don't want to like get too much into the weeds here as far as anatomy and stuff, but a really good thing about saddle stools is they reinforce the lumbar curve. So our low back curve is, you know, how it curves inward. It's there for a reason, and that's what we want. And when we're sitting on a traditional stool, a lot of times that curve starts to flatten out, which isn't good. And that's when people start to develop low back pain and hip pain. So we want something that's going to reinforce that curve, which a saddle stool does. But some people have too much of a curve, like it's called lordosis. And when they have that, a saddle stool probably isn't going to feel great for them, because their curve is already way too curvy. They don't need any help, you know, with that. And so there are other options for people like that. But I would say for the most part, saddle stools are great, unless you already know that you have existing lordosis.
Okay. And, you know, switching gears a little bit as far as like purchase the actual buying the chair, you know, I know a lot of hygienists, you know, request things from doctors or maybe expect the office to provide them with a specific chair. Do you have any tips around actually purchasing the chair and getting one, or if we should be expecting our doctors to make that purchase for us, or if we should make that investment ourselves?
Yeah. So I've worked with, I've seen both. I've worked with offices like doing my assessments. A lot of times offices will hire me to work with everyone, and the practice owners or the dentists or whoever is very invested in taking care of their team. And they will buy, I mean, I've seen practice owners buy their team loops, saddle stools, cordless polishers, like whatever they need, which is great. Do I think that that should be an expectation? I personally don't. And that might be a unpopular opinion again. So we want to be seen as like high level independent healthcare providers, right? And I don't think that it's necessarily fair for us to expect our offices to provide this equipment for us. Would it be great? Yes. I don't think it should be an expectation. And really, especially right now, looking at like the turnover and stuff with people moving around offices, it's almost not fair for us to expect that of our office to do that. So I don't want that to be a barrier for people getting the equipment that they need. Like if your office won't buy it for you, I mean, that's a bummer, but we as hygienists, we have really high earning potential. And if we are smart and invest our and like budget our money out, we're able to invest in these products that are only going to help us over time. And when you're buying ergonomic equipment, just look at it as an investment in yourself. Like, how much money do we spend on massages and chiropractic visits and PT and going to the doctor and getting cortisone shots, like whatever it is, you know? And if we're investing in equipment that can help prevent all of that, we'll be saving money in the long run.
Yeah, ultimately, you'll be increasing the longevity of your career. And one example that I want to give is when at my very first office, I actually spoke to my doctor about purchasing a saddle stool, and I was actually able to negotiate and make a deal with him that if he purchased the chair for me, that I would stay at least 1 year. And if I left before that year was over, then I would have to pay for the chair. And that I felt like that was a great negotiation way to, you know, actually get a saddle stool. And then ultimately I ended up getting my own stool. And I think that that is such a great idea too, because we don't always stay at the same office and you're able to then take that chair with you wherever you go. If you're temping and you just know for 100% that you're going to be comfortable in the chair that you're sitting in. Because I mean, there are some chairs in some of the offices that I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going to be standing all day because that chair is just that bad, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a great way, you know, and that's a great way to negotiate, because if there's a lot of costs that go into hiring and training someone new. And so if the practice owner has the reassurance that you're going to be there for a certain amount of time, that does give you some leverage in getting them to help you. But I don't think that it should be an expectation.
What other investments would you recommend hygienists think about purchasing as far as like for ergonomics?
I mean, the saddle stool, yes, ergonomic loops, true ergonomic loops. I tell people not all loops are ergonomic, because it's true. Like if you're using a loop that's still forcing you to hunch over, that's not an ergonomic loop. So I recommend people invest in those prismatic ergonomic loops that allow you to keep your head upright while being able to see into the patient's mouth. That is huge. We only have one neck, you know, and it's got to last us our whole life. And once you start to develop neck pain, it just sucks. It's like, it's painful. It affects your quality of life. And if you're using a loop that you are tipping your head forward, I would be shocked if you didn't have neck issues at some point. There's also cordless polishers. Those are amazing. Using a suction device, that's something that I talk about as well. Using anything that will allow you to be hands-free when you're using your power instruments. I don't care what it is. You can have your patient hold on to the suction. I don't care. Just don't hold on to it yourself, because you're not able to use your mirror. And then you're going to be, you know, having some crazy postures trying to clean the mouth.
You know, I really want to highlight the ergo loops, because again, that's another thing that we get lots of questions about. And I wanted to hear your thoughts on, is it worth getting ergo loops when the patient can't lean all the way back?
Yes. I get that question a lot. Whether you're using loops or not, like if you just use safety glasses, you know, patient positioning is really important. I would say with ergonomic loops, it's best if you have mastered your patient positioning and getting them into the right spot. That's going to make it a lot easier to use these loops and using indirect vision. But you need to do that anyway, whether you're using ergo loops or not. But if you have a patient that, for whatever reason, can't lean back in the chair, you can still use your ergonomic loops. You're not going to have perfect posture. I mean, ergonomic loops don't fix every issue that we have. It's not a magic bullet. And so you're still going to be having some kind of awkward posture with those loops, but you can still use them.
And what about the weight of them? I've heard questions about, like, you know, having a wireless light and the weight of the ergo loops being heavier than, you know, the standard loops.
Yeah. So if you think about traditional loops, not the ergonomic kind, they are, from what I know, they are a bit lighter. However, when you're using those loops, your head is not in neutral. Your head is forward and down. Okay. So any weight is going to be pulling your head even more forward and down. Now with ergonomic loops, your head is upright in a neutral position, which is the way it should be. And we can handle a decent amount of weight on our face when our head is supported by our spine and really not have any issues with that. So I try to tell people, don't hung up on the weight of the loops, the weight of the light, whether it's wireless or wired, because your head is going to be able to support that weight because you're in neutral. I hope that makes sense, but you're a lot more stable in an upright neutral position and you can handle that extra weight.
I actually have a question too about the saddle stools for a second. I want to go back to that. And because you mentioned about doing your research about the products and, you know, purchasing one that actually fits you. Is there a way that you recommend going about making that purchase? Because I know for most people, it can be really confusing on how to even figure out how to get one that's not from Amazon.
Yeah, that's a good question. So on my highlight, on my Instagram, I do have, I think it's like 4 or 5 companies. I can't remember. It's either 4 or 5 companies that I recommend. So that narrows it down. These are companies that have designed these chairs specifically for people who do what we do. They're really high quality. They've been tested, like they're just awesome. And then there's another resource on there too, that you need to tell your rep, you know, pick out what company you think that you would like, reach out to a rep and then give them your stats, your inseam, your hip width, how tall you are, like any existing body issues that you have, because that might determine what stool they're going to give you. But these reps are really knowledgeable. If you go with a reputable company, like what I recommend, and they'll be able to guide you into what stool that you want.
I wanted to talk a little bit about getting assessments completed by a ergonomic coach. Can you tell the listeners a little bit more about what assessments are and what they do for ergonomics?
If you think about us practicing dentistry, this is a very physically demanding job, like one of the most physically taxing ones out there. And if we're not doing it with good form, meaning if we're in the chicken wing for half of the day, or if we've got our head forward, or if we're twisting, you know, 40 times during 1 hour appointment, like we're going to get hurt. And so these assessments, what they do is it allows me, or I'm not the only one that does this, but allows the ergonomic specialist to watch you as you practice and document your habits, look at your operatory, look at the equipment that you're using, and be able to tell you what you're doing right. Because a lot of people are doing a lot of things right. You know, it's not like we're all just a mess out here. But a lot of us have developed these habits that we're not even aware of. So just having someone objectively watch you and be able to tell you, hey, did you realize that your arm was out in chicken wing for like 20 minutes during this 1 hour? Or did you realize you twisted to one side 30 times during this 1 hour? And just show you, and I do photos and video, and just seeing yourself practicing in a picture, like I don't even have to say anything. People just look at it and they're like, oh, okay. Like you can learn a lot from that. But I personally think that everyone practicing dentistry should have at least one ergonomic assessment as soon as possible, so that you can start to identify these habits that you have and start to change them.
Yeah, that's something that, you know, I get questions about ergonomics, or, you know, oh, I have this type of pain. Like, what do you recommend? And I, you know, have to tell people, like, I have no idea. Like, there are so many things that you could be doing in the operatory, let alone like myself. I have my own issues. So I'm like, yeah. I always recommend them. I tell them, I'm like, you know, you should really think about investing in getting some assessments completed. And I think it's kind of interesting because we spend so much money on, you know, getting massages and all these other chiropractors and stuff like that. But then when it comes to getting assessments completed, it's always like a different mind frame around getting it done. And I don't know why it's like that, but I feel like it's such a great investment to make so that you can really identify what issues you're actually having in the operatory, rather than, you know, investing all this money into maybe something like a saddle stool where your problem was actually something completely different than the chair.
Right. And yeah, I tell people, like, if you really want to be healthy and ergonomic, it takes both, right? It takes mastering your own habits and realizing what you're doing and using good ergonomic equipment.
One of the things also that you mentioned that I want to briefly touch on is hand-free suctions. Because, you know, we work in so many different offices that have different equipment and different setups. And like, I feel like I never really thought about purchasing my own hands-free suction device, which is so, it sounds so funny to me to actually purchase like a suction device, but it makes so much sense now that I have practiced with so many different ones. So I think that that is a good thing to highlight because it wasn't something that I always practiced with either. You know, it took me a while to finally be able to pick something up and use it and be like, okay, this is what I'm going to use for the hands-free suction device.
Yeah. And it's nice with that too, especially since COVID, there's so many different kinds to choose from, which actually might be kind of overwhelming for people because there are so many choices. But just using something that will, that you're confident in using. Some of them have more of a learning curve than others. Some control aerosols, some don't, you know. I'm definitely here to help give people advice, but I'm not quite sure if it's being taught in school to hold onto the suction, or if people have just developed this habit over time. I'm not quite sure what it is, but it's so important for us to be able to drop the suction, use our mirror and have a more neutral posture with it. It's crucial. And I see it all the time, Brett, like people holding the suction and they're literally upside down when they're trying to work, especially on the upper arch. It's crazy.
Yeah, and that's something that took me so long to, and even now I still struggle with indirect vision, but I can't stress enough how much better it has made my ergonomics to be able to utilize indirect vision. And I never really practiced it as much as I should have in school. So I always tell students, like, you know, try your best to really perfect that skill while you're in school so that when you get into private practice, you know, you don't have to worry so much about it. But there are even times now when I literally have to force myself to figure it out, like figure out the direction, figure out the angle, because it is really hard. But then once I've been able to like get used to it, I realize like, oh, wow, I can sit straight up. Like if my patient can't lean all the way back, yeah, there's still some angles that are really difficult. But there's also like some spots where I'm like, this is fine. Like this patient can sit like this and I could figure it out and clean this and still have, you know, good ergonomics.
Yeah. And I have people who ask me, you know, how they can like get better with indirect vision. Cause I know how it is practicing. I still see patients and you're so like, we've just got a million things to do. We're worried about the patient. We're not really necessarily worried about us and like, you know, perfecting our mirror skills at that time. So, you know, getting an inexpensive little type it on, if you don't still have yours from school, using a mirror and just a little scaler at home and just really, like you said, forcing yourself to figure it out, but that's only going to help you over time.
Yeah, it's something that I have to do on a daily basis. Like if there's an area in the mouth that I'm working on and I, you know, want to do the chicken wing and tilt my head all the way to the side and basically break my neck, and I have to stop myself and be like, no, Britt, like get yourself in the position, scoot over, ask the patient to turn, because sometimes just the inconvenience of asking the patient to move, it's like, I don't know, I have this like internal battle where I don't want to ask them to move because I feel like I'm being too much, like just annoying. So I literally have to force myself, like ask them to move, which is kind of crazy.
I don't think that it is, because I mean, considering the personality characteristics of most of us in dentistry, we're caretakers. We're concerned about the patient. We know that most patients, you know, it's not their favorite place to be. We don't want to ask any more of them than we have to. And so we would rather suffer, right, than ask them to move. But I can tell you, me as a clinician, my patients are very involved in the appointment. They're moving their head up and down. They're moving left to right. They're tilting, you know, whatever I need. And I have never, I mean, maybe back in the day, I had like one or two people be like, wow, like joking around telling me that I'm bossy, which is fine. You know, it's like, we have to kind of get over that and just realize that they're only there for a few minutes. We're there all day and we've got to make it in this field for a long time.
Yeah. And I feel like too, like the other thing you can force yourself to think about is like, okay, if I ask them to move, which makes my ergonomics better, it's going to increase the longevity of my career and I'll be able to take care of them longer. So can you turn your head to the right?
Exactly. Well, and too, I mean, you could think of it as yourself. Like, I'm at the point now with my body. If I sacrifice my ergonomics, I pay for it for days after, and it is just not worth it, you know? And so if we can just kind of get over that and make sure that we're taking care of ourselves at the same time, like it's only going to help us.
Well, thank you so much for being on today's episode of Brush with Brit. You know, I always appreciate you sharing your advice and knowledge with all the listeners. I feel like there's so much to learn about ergonomics, and it's such an important piece of our career. So I really appreciate you taking the time. And I would like for you to just let the audience know where they can find you and what handles you would like to plug. And then I will also put all the description information in the description box of this episode. And also, I would like to highlight that you're going to have your own podcast that they can also listen to.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I actually just recorded my first episode right before this. So, probably the most centralized area for people to get in touch with me is my website. It's polishedposture.net. On my Instagram, that's where I have most of my educational videos on like positioning and just ergonomics in general. So that's a good spot. And yeah, my podcast is going to be published on YouTube as soon as I'm done editing it. And I'm at Polished Posture on YouTube as well.
Perfect. Thank you. And I will also link the Instagram and the highlight for the saddle stools because I always direct people that way. So that will be listed in the description box in case everybody needs it. Thank you again for listening to the Brush with Brit podcast. Until next time.